This is the Dungeon Master's Handbook. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Dungeon Master's Handbook. I'm Michael Chicagowiz, and I'm glad you're here with me. So today, we're going to talk about something that I've been alluding to in a couple of previous episodes. I know you've been waiting anxiously, because this is a really thrilling topic, though actually, as I discovered, I have a lot to say about it. We're going to be talking about including weather in your campaign, or how I've included weather in my campaign, how I've made it work, and how I've actually made it interesting rather than frustrating, because it is something I have struggled with throughout my campaign. Now, when I started my campaign, I was on a kick of being ultra-realistic, and everything had to fit, and everything has to be consistent, and you know, I had the economy figured out and all that. Well, I was going to do the same thing with the weather. And I struggled because I could not for the life of me figure out or find a decent resource on doing weather and on how to, you know, generate weather or make weather charts or something that was consistent. So I kind of settled over the years on a couple of things until recently. The first one that I ended up using was from a gentleman by the name of B. Scott Hoover, also known as Kelry. He created these books called The Classic Dungeon Designers, and Netbook 4 here actually has a pretty interesting chart where you can generate weather for the wilderness. So if I go to that, the things that you can do with this weather are crazy. So, and my some of my players can attest to this. You can generate weather using a D100, and it's pretty random. And so one day you might have total rain, the next day you may have, you know, clear, and then the next day you may have earthquakes. On one given day, I had earthquakes and tornado at the same time. My players really loved that. And so I found that this was generally unsatisfying to me. It just didn't really work. So then, as I got away from that, I wanted to do something related to my war games, because you know, in war games, weather will affect things like movement, how far you can see, how far you can shoot, and that sort of thing. And I tried to use a chart that would change the weather gradually, or at least on a more consistent basis. But the problem was, is that for almost an entire season, I got stuck in rain, which, again, felt unsatisfying to me. It didn't seem logical. Then I tried just including weather as random encounters. So in my random encounter charts for exploring the wilderness or traveling outdoors, one of the things that the players could encounter is some sort of a weather event. And, you know, that kind of works, and I could change it judging for the season, but still wasn't exactly helping me, like, say, with my war games. And then I've tried to do things like just not dealing with it at all, which also felt unsatisfying. And I bet you can probably relate to all of these in trying to come up with something. I still wanted to include it, even with all these struggles. Because for me, having that extra little bit of flavor, I think, adds something to my campaign. You know, we can have it where it's really, you know, nice and sunny, or it's clear weather all the time. But sometimes throwing a challenge at the players really forces them to think, and may even force them to adapt a new approach, which leads to even possibly more interesting things happening in your campaign. And so I really wanted to have something that would add that flavor. So lately, as I mentioned, I've come across two really wonderful tools that have kind of helped me get over that hump and started presenting weather that's more consistent, as well as more interesting and not quite as frustrating. The first is I stumbled across a blog post by an actual weatherman who's involved in the old school scene, if you will. His name is James, and he runs a blog called Pits and Perilous and Old House Rules. I'll leave a link in the description to that. In this blog post, which I think was late last year or early this year, he gave a pretty simple approach to weather as well as kind of a description of the general basics of how weather works, that it's, you know, that there's cycles and there's patterns based on the geography and, you know, the wind patterns and so on. And a lot of it was way over my head because I'm not a meteorologist, but I got enough to understand that, you know, there's a pattern to it and that you could, for the most part, rely on this pattern to hold. And in that, he also provided some charts based on those patterns. And these were fairly interesting, and it kind of replicated what I had tried to do with my war games, which is to have a weather gradually changing, but he did it in such a way so that you wouldn't get stuck. So I'll try to describe it. What he does is he gives you the weather for 10 days. You know, day 1, 2 is this, day 3 and 4 is this, you know, there's a little bit of precipitation in there for a day or two. And then what he does is he says, roll for a random starting point and then cycle through there for every 10 days. So, you know, if you rolled a 6, then okay, you start on day 6 and you just followed his simple little chart. That was really cool. And I thought, well, gee, this, you know, is pretty simple, straightforward. I can do that. But he admits that he says, we're kind of assuming that the campaign is set in the middle latitudes of our hypothetical sphere. I am not a professional podcaster. So what happens if you have areas that are in cold regions, or in my case, in tropical regions? This might not hold. Well, he had a couple of other charts for tropical regions, but it just didn't quite fit. So I was brave. I wrote to James and I said, hey, can you help me out? I have these different areas. Could you help me figure out what the rough weather patterns are for? And so he very kindly did help me. And that's when he introduced me to the first key. And that is the Köppen climate classifications. Now, what the hell is a Köppen climate classification? What does it have to do with D&D? Well, the Köppen classification is basically a code for describing various climate regions of the Earth. So I'll give you an example. So we have Chicago in the northern U.S. Midwest. If you look at the Köppen map of the world, we would be coded as a DFA. And what that translates to is cold continental, without a dry season, and a hot summer. And so that very simply but very accurately describes the weather around Chicago, except that it seems to change all the time. Now, what this allowed me to do, and what James helped did, was to break down my duchies and their weather into these codes so I could get a general idea of what the weather was like. You know, there are some regions which are tropical wetlands. There are some regions which are more warmer and they do have a dry season. There are places that don't have a hot summer, and so on. And so I could get a rough sense of what the weather should be like in each of these areas. So I had some great information, but still, how do I translate that into weather charts so that I can use them pretty quickly and simply for playing D&D and for playing war games? Well, then enter another blogger by the name of Oak Spalding of the blog Save Versus All Wants. He's also got some other publications out there. I'm going to screw this up. I think it's The Seven Voyages of Xylarthen. I've probably mispronounced that. Sorry, Oaks. I'm not a professional. But this product I can pronounce. He wrote The Almanac of Fantasy Weather for Swords and Sorceries. Now, what is so cool about this product is he's given you weather charts for every day and evening for 8 years. Yep, That's right. Temperature, wind, precipitation for 365 days times 8. He even has thrown in a lot of helpful DM advice on how he uses weather to affect his game. It's really fascinating stuff. But this book just lays it all out. And he's got a blog post up on his blog where he outlines how he came up with this approach. And basically what he did was, is he's got his campaign world, which seems to be more set in Middle East climates than, say, Northern Central Europe climates. But he actually matched up those areas with real regions of the world, much like I did before with matching up my duchies with James' help to the cup and climate classifications. And so then what he did was, is he took average weather over a period of time and came up with these algorithms to basically generate weather for 8 years that would roughly match what had historically happened in these regions of the world. And then all he has to do is, within his campaign calendar, go, oh, it's August 5th, and I'm in year 3. Okay, I flip to the page. There's the weather that I have for today, and I have all that information right there. That's brilliant. Don't have to think about it. You can do some random rolls, and he's got some charts in there for doing it, but it is simple, easy peasy to look up. Just find the right climate that matches what you're looking for. Look up the day and the year. Boom, you're done. Well, I thought this was great, but then I looked through the book and found that he's based in the Middle East in his campaign, and I'm based in more Northern Europe. So I will confess that I, much like I wrote to James and says, will you please help me? I wrote to Oakes, and he very generously, thank you, Oakes, helped me out with some weather charts and weather ideas for the two duchies that I mainly am running games in. And so he doesn't have a second volume coming yet for some of the more European or more general weather areas, but I believe he is working on a follow-up, and trust me, I will buy it as soon as it comes out. I would highly recommend grabbing this almanac for two reasons. One, if you do have some climate classifications in your world that match his, this is a great one-stop resource. The second is just that. It's a great resource that may actually give you some great ideas to adapt. You know, we're DMs. We're used to looking at charts and stuff and going, how do I twist and turn that to my campaign? And you can definitely do that here with putting a little thought and time into it. Unless you happen to be running in a Middle Eastern type setting and boom, there you go. You've got everything there. So now with the weather, I've taken this almanac and I've generated weekly charts for my war games. So since my war game turns are based on a 10-day week, all I've got to do is look at my spreadsheet that has the weather basically summarized for a week and say, all right, is there enough precipitation here that affects movement? Is there, you know, something going on that's going to affect armies clashing with each other? If so, then I can take that into account. And it's great because this is really easy. Everything was written up for me. I'm just following along on a week-by-week basis. For my D&D games, what I do is I've roughly matched his almanac with my my own campaign calendar, which is shorter than 365 days. And on my game preparation notes, I'll look at the almanac, I'll say, okay, here's these 15 days, here's the weather, bring it over to my notes, and I just basically tick them off as I go. Most of the time, it's that simple. I still do have random weather events on my Wandering Monster charts for Overland Adventures or Hex Exploring, because you know what? Sometimes it's just fun to have a surprise pop up on the players, and sometimes it tells a great story. So how do I make weather affect the players? So I've done all this work, and I've got these pretty easy-to-use charts now that make the weather easy for me, but what do the players feel? Well, from a broad perspective, weather can affect their movement. It can affect evading or being able to see ahead. It can affect missile fire. It can also affect how they camp or what they need to do to be able to survive the weather, especially, say, in the cold or extreme heat. You know, they may not even be able to move if the weather is bad enough. Now, how you want to let that affect your game is up to you and the game you play. I know some OSR rules sets probably have a little bit more information than others. And amazingly, you would think that Advanced Dungeons & Dragons would have quite a bit on the weather, but in flipping through the Dungeon Master's Guide, I didn't find a lot. There were some cues that I got from some of the different entries, and I'll point these out to you. For movement, it seems like that we can make bad weather similar to bad terrain movement rates. So if you look at the terrain movement rates in the DMG, then perhaps if there's severe weather, storms, whatnot, you know, make them lose the movement rate. They're moving slower, and even perhaps afterwards, if it's a long enough storm and or has produced enough precipitation, you know, there's a reason that Napoleon didn't exactly make it through Russia very well, because he got bogged down in the mud and snow. Well, same thing could happen to the players. For wind, how does wind affect missiles? Well, there in the AD&D Dungeon Master's Guide, there's the section on naval combat where Gary actually does list the effects of, say, a strong breeze to gale force wind is -2 for missiles, and a storm is -4. That sounds about right, and that's about what I would use if you know, it was very windy or stormy out. For encounters and evasion, you know, bad weather could be similar to the effect of terrain and light on the distance that an encounter takes place and how you might be able to evade. Another source for how you could let weather affect your campaign is Oak's Almanac. He lists a lot of effects of how weather affects him, and there's some great ideas there. For example, he has a weather effects table which says a storm limits you to 60% of your movement and adds a +1 to getting lost. Well, that makes sense if you're, you know, in a downpour and you don't have your trusty ranger with you. Yeah, you might get turned around a little bit and end up maybe wandering into something interesting. He does break it down really nicely in this almanac, which, again, I really recommend grabbing. It's a really interesting resource. So to kind of bring this all together and bring this episode to a close, the tools that I now use for my weather. So I've matched the various areas in my campaign, my duchies, to similar areas in my world, in the real world here. And I know how they're classified so that if I want to get an idea of what the weather should be like, I can just look in an atlas or Google it and figure it out. For some areas, I use the almanac that Oaks provided, which gives me 4 to 8 years of realistic generated weather, and I just follow it along roughly to the equivalent of my campaign calendar. For my war games, using those same almanacs or general weather patterns, I figured out the majority of the weather for a week-by-week basis or turn-by-turn basis, and I apply it as it goes. And then I still have random weather encounters in my game notes so that, you know, if the roll comes up, then the players will have something interesting happening to them. So what do you do? How do you use weather? Leather. Maybe use leather and weather. How do you use weather? I'd really love to know. All right, so that's about it for weather. Thanks for listening. I hope you got something useful out of this podcast, and be sure to check out the links on the podcast posts on WordPress or Facebook so you can get more information on some of these different resources that I've used. Please, if you would, subscribe and review my podcast and share the podcast with your friends. Maybe you know, your fellow DMs or friends will get something interesting out of it. Please help me to reach other DMs. So until next time, game on.